Agenda item number 8, report and possible discussion on policy update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Mr. Chairman, members, good morning. I'm just going to go over some of the things that have happened since the legislative session, particularly the implementation of some of the House Bill 4 stuff and how that might affect us. I'm going to start by talking about the Water Master issue. As you all know, there's currently a petition at the State Office of Administrative Hearings for the creation of a Water Master. Back in September, there was about a four-day-long hearing process where the parties on both sides of the issue were allowed to present witnesses, cross-examine, have testimony. We participated in that hearing as a neutral party, which has been our position on the Water Master issue. I guess I would say that the gist of the testimony from both sides centered around trying to prove whether or not TCEQ could handle managing water rights in the basin and whether or not they could do a good enough job of it. And if they couldn't, did there need to be a Water Master? There was some time spent on testimony related to what the geographic extent of that Water Master needed to be. Obviously, our position is we think it should cover the whole basin. If you're going to have a Water Master, it needs to cover the entirety of the basin. There are some of the folks involved in the hearing, particularly in the upper part of the basin, the Abilene area, that would like for their part of the basin to be cut out of any Water Master that's created. And so that's something that SOA is going to have to look at as they continue this process. Yes, sir.
Matt, the Water Master we're talking about, will this just be a specific Brazos Water Master or
yes,
an
sir.
Entire state Water Master?
It would be a Brazos River Basin Water
so
Master.
So each basin would have their own Water Master.
Right, and there's currently three Water Masters. There's Rio Grande, South Texas, and Concho. Those are the three that exist right now. So it would be just for the Brazos. In terms of how that process is going to go forward, we expect that the PFD will come out in mid-December. Closing arguments were last week, and those are submitted in writing. The PFD, or proposal for decision, will come out in mid-December. And then it goes to the TCEQ commissioners, and they'll make a decision based on that. And obviously, they don't have to go by the PFD. They can, you know, decide to do it or not to do it. Again, I think that, you know, handicapping it, I would say that the pro Water Master side probably made better arguments throughout the process. I mean, that was kind of our deduction that they kind of won the day a little bit with their arguments, but again, it's up to the commissioners to see what they do.
Matt, will the selection of a Water Master impact how we handle Granbury and Possum Kingdom? Is it out of our hands then?
It's hard to say. I cannot imagine that it would. We're operating those reservoirs for the purposes that they were created, which is water supply. We're in compliance with our state-issued water right permits and our contracts, and a Water Master is essentially going to make sure that we do exactly that and also honor senior water rights. So, you know, I can't necessarily say that they would, affect our day-to-day in that regard.
And there's some discussion that the cost of that Water Master be borne by all of the parties in the BRS?
It will be. A Water Master is paid for by water right holders. There are some considerations made for smaller water right holders, particularly agricultural users at times, and that's something that's been discussed as part of this process. But overall, you know, all 1,500 or so water right holders would end up paying some sort of fee to fund the operation.
What would we do? Increase the cost of our water?
It would go into our system, right? Yes, sir.
Matt is a fiscally responsible person. I mean, we're taking a neutral position. Mm-hmm. However, I have a hard time with that because we've got too much bureaucracy as it is.
Exactly.
The more I learn about it, the less I like about it.
So
sure.
Why don't we just say, hey, why add the bureaucracy when we have plenty of controls and systems in place and people that, you know, have the insight to manage this water already in place?
I think we're probably to a point where we're not in a position to be able to change our neutrality. We were obviously neutral because we have customers on both sides of the issue. The proponents of a Water Master, while they're also major water right holders, are also our customers, so are many of the opponents. We were stuck generally in the middle. We're stuck in an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so we chose to be neutral. Now, again, the one thing that we have not been neutral on is the geographic extent issue, which is if you're going to create one, and we're not saying that you should, but if you are, we think it needs to cover the entirety of the basin.
Well, good.
And we also said that you need to execute where people like Dal and others can't take junior water rights and play those off senior. You have to use, if you have the water master, you have to use your senior, most senior right first. Because they were manipulating it and being able to use the water.
Can we not do that now, Phil? Can it,
the rules are you're supposed to use your senior.
So we,
okay. There's a lot of bureaucracy already. I just hate to add more. But I understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Will we ever reach a point where we might become more pro or con in the process? What would drive you?
Politics.
Yeah, politics. I mean, there's something to be said about the inherent benefits to the Brazos River Authority of having a water master. It takes us out of the position of being the perceived regulatory entity for the basin, which we are not. We're always mistaken to be that. We are but a water right holder like many others. We just happen to have a lot of water rights and a lot of reservoirs stored in water in. So, you know, from that perspective, there are some benefits to having one to the BRA. Obviously, there's also some negatives, the cost, bureaucracy, things like that. So that's, you know, I would think that it would be a purely political issue that would push us one way or the other, depending on how it goes.
But the real focus should be, do we need one?
Correct.
And I think you're saying that's kind of what's going on, and that's good.
That's the argument right now, and that's what SOA is looking at, and that's what the TSET commissioners are going to have to look at. They were basically told to look at three things: whether or not water rights in the Brazos were threatened, if so, should a water master be appointed to help that, and then what the geographic extent of that water master needs to be. So they're answering all the questions.
Okay. And the other side of that thing is one of the large proponents that was on the board, who was a former water master, now is at the Water Development. So the dynamics of the commission, the three commissioners may change the outcome.
Yeah, you've only got two commissioners right now, and I don't know whether or not we'll have three by December. There's rumors flying. Nobody knows who that third commissioner will be at this point.
Is Beck Brunn one of them?
Well, Beck was appointed to the Water Development Board. This is TCEQ. Yes, sir.
Is the water master in those three instances where we have, are they appointed?
They
by
are
the governor.
No. They're hired by TCEQ. They're an employee.
So they're employees of TCEQ.
That's correct. It's basically a department within TCEQ.
So what it really does, it just gives more authority to the board of TCEQ.
It gives a greater amount of regulatory authority to TCEQ themselves. You basically got an individual and his staff whose sole responsibility is managing water rights in a basin day-to-day. So we're talking water metering, you know, calling for releases and things like that. So, I mean, it just becomes a much more stringent, you know, day-to-day monitor process.
Is this a position that would, is there any limitation on the term of serving in this position? Or is it just like once they're in there forever and ever, like a federal judge? Or
I think they could be in there for as long as, you know, they choose to be employed there, until their boss decides they don't need to be there anymore. You know, it's just it's a basically an agency job, you know, a bureaucrat job. So
it's an agency job, but if we get a lot of rain and the reservoirs stay full and everybody's happy about water, we've got a guy sitting in an office doing not much.
That's one of the arguments against it, is that during wet times they don't have a whole lot to do.
Drawing big bucks.
Other than political cover, what do we gain from having a water master?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're in favor of the correct enforcement and management of water rights, making sure that senior rights are honored. That's something that we are in favor of. So that is a benefit. Again, removing us from the perceived regulatory, you know, spot that folks think we're in is another benefit as well. I mean, there are some inherent benefits.
But it appears to me that's what we're doing, and doing it properly. So we got another checking on this, is what it amounts to.
Generally is what it is.
Director Bell, there is some value, though, and there's some pretty high-powered folks in the lower basin that are thoroughly convinced that we're not doing a good job of doing the job that you discussed. And part of what we struggle with is
It has to do with perception.
It is absolutely.
If when there's a drought and no water in the river, at the bottom of the river, we need to know who's up at the top of the river holding our water. That's the issue.
The value, really,
whether it's true or not.
The biggest value to the VRA would be this whole perception issue gets dealt with, because now it's TCEQ. So whatever whisper campaign goes on down there that we're, you know, whether we're supposedly holding water in the reservoir when we shouldn't be passing it down, goes away, because the water master essentially becomes the accountant and the gatekeeper for anybody that's going to be making any withdrawals of water out there.
Well, and to some extent, it provides a benefit for water right permitting in the basin, because it provides that extra box checker, that extra degree of authority over all water right holders in the basin. Yes, sir.
Tell me again, what's the approximate budget for that whole?
There's a few that have been thrown out, anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million to more than that. Now, what we've looked at in terms of the size of our basin and the amount of water right holders that you have, the estimates that TCEQ did when they studied the issue, we think are kind of low. You know, $500,000 to $750,000 a year is probably not enough. Not for the kind of staff you're going to need, the kind of work they're going to have to do. If you're going to effectively do it, it's probably going to be quite a bit more than that.
The boots, the cars, all that stuff, the helicopters and stuff that you're going to need to do it properly.
Sure.
Unmanned drones.
I
bring that up because it was a topic in the SOA hearing.
Maybe not at this point, but there's going to be a lot of activity, oil activity along the Brazos River Basin in the College Station area and in Burleson County. We're already seeing it. It's maybe a couple years away, but they're already talking about drawing water out of the Brazos River, putting it in a pond for fracking. Mm-hmm. They're also talking about the farmers there selling their water rather than irrigation. They're going to be using it for fracking. So there's a lot of things going on. I don't know who monitors all the straws in the water.
It would be the job of a water master to monitor all the straws.
And you hit on it. That's just a real issue, because Brazos River Authority can do what they should do, and anybody that has a straw can pull the water out. I mean, they do it. Who's going to tell them not to? Who's watching? That's one of the reasons for a water master.
We're already seeing it in Burleson County. They're planning on having huge tanks full of water for fracking, and they're going to fill it either with groundwater from the farmers and ranchers or from the river, they think.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, it just looks like, just conceptually, that the water master concept is placing more power in the hands of fewer people rather than dispersing power, which innately tends to lead to more fairness and equity.
It's one way to look at it. The other argument from the other side on that is the honor system doesn't work. You know, because right now we're doing a good job right now.
I mean, we'll pay the price. The legislature will, will slap our hands pretty good.
Sure.
So,
I think we're letting the nose of the camel under the tent. He'll gradually take over.
Yeah.
It's a tough issue. It's a big issue. So we'll see what the commission decides to do at that point. I want to talk a little bit about House Bill 4. That was obviously the big water bill that passed this session. It first and foremost remade the Water Development Board, as we've discussed, from a volunteer board to a permanent board. Those three members have been appointed: Carlos Rubenstein, Beck Brune, and Marianne Williamson. Carlos Rubenstein is the chair of that board. They serve staggered terms. I believe Beck got a 2-year term, Carlos got a 4-year term, Marianne Williamson got a 6-year term. So obviously Beck will be up for reappointment first. They hired a new executive administrator. As you all know, the previous executive administrator was essentially let go in House Bill 4. So they hired Kevin Pattison. He was formerly at the Office of State and Federal Relations, which is kind of like the state's lobbyist, so to speak, works with the federal government, federal agencies Texas issues.
Where was he based? In Washington?
In Austin. He was actually in Austin. I think they also have an office in Austin. I mean, in Washington, but he was in Austin most of the time. The last three bullets are interesting, and I'll talk about Proposition 6 in a second, because as you know, House Bill 4 came with a constitutional amendment that allows money to be taken out of the rainy day fund and put over into or given to the Water Development Board and put into two new water infrastructure-related funds. But there were some other policy-related issues that are also dependent upon the passage of Prop 6, because it's not just about the money. One of those is the prioritization, the creation of criteria to prioritize projects within the state water plan. That's something that the Water Development Board and the regional water planning groups are already working on. Now, you might say, why are they working on it? Prop 6 doesn't pass, they don't have to do it, because of the tight timeline, because they have to have it done by December 1st. So they've already started working on it regardless of whether or not it may actually go through, because they have to, otherwise they're going to miss their deadline. The actual outcome of that, which is a prioritized list of the projects in the 2011 plan, is due on June 1, 2014. So again, depending upon the passage of Prop 6, they'll use that criteria to prioritize the projects in the 2011 plan. And then in the update of the 2011 plan, which will be the 2016 regional plans, they will prioritize the next round of projects, again, according to that criteria. We've been involved in that criteria creation process as a member of TWCA, Texas Water Conservation Association. They created a committee, which Phil and I worked on with several other like entities, river authorities, other water providers, rural water providers, Farm Bureau. It was a pretty varied list of folks trying to create that criteria and basically suggest to the Water Development Board, here's how we think you could do it. I think it was well received. Again, the Water Development Board is going to do what they need to do in order to create this criteria process, but hopefully we helped them out a little bit. So again, all of that, those three things are contingent upon the passage of Prop 6, as is the money, the $2 billion.
And the passage of Prop 6 is because it's I already voted last week, but there's the other side to the story is that they think that it's a bad distribution of the rainy day fund. It should go into the Tea Party folks that thinks it shouldn't be spent, and it's just going to help the water guys get richer, and it's all going to be to cronyism. So again, anytime any government agency is involved, they're wrong, and the public doesn't think much of government agencies, whether it be from the president to the Congress to the anybody right now, and it's tough.
Well, I'd like to just say that isn't that what a rainy day fund is for, when there's no rain?
That's so bad.
There's a lot of different interpretations on what exactly a rainy day qualifies
Thank
as.
Thank you for your interest.
Is a rainy day fund to pay for a bureaucracy, or is it to pay for water sources of water?
Some would argue that it's actually for emergencies like natural disasters, and it shouldn't be used for things like this. So again, that's some of the go to the next slide. Since we're on the topic, so again, Prop 6 is one of nine constitutional amendments on the ballot. It would send $2 billion from the Rainy Day Fund over into two new dedicated funds that'll help fund state water plan projects. Polling has generally showed support, over 50%, although there are a lot of undecided voters, and there is organized opposition, and it comes from a wide range of folks. You've got environmental groups who are opposed to it because of the fact that it could fund building reservoirs. You've got conservative Tea Party type grassroots groups opposed to it because they think it's too much spending. They don't like spending money out of the rainy day fund. They think it's going to, as Phil said, enrich engineering firms and developers and all those kind of things. So these types of elections are typically low turnout. Mm-hmm. And we've, in the past seen things that folks thought were no-brainers go down in flames in elections like these because, it's easier to vote no, it's easier to run a no campaign, on things like this. So we'll have to see how it goes. If Prop 6 doesn't pass, it was interesting. That was a question of one of the elected officials at TWCA who spoke the other day. Mm-hmm. If Prop 6 doesn't pass, what do you do? And his answer was, I don't know. So that should scare all of us. But I wouldn't assume they would call a special session to come back. I'd assume they'd just wait and deal with it during the next session. But again, we'll just have to see how that goes. Yes, sir.
Matt, are these funds that will be available, are they to be paid back?
Yes, sir. And the whole point of them is
funds that are available for a loan.
That's correct. They're low interest loans or deferred payment loans. And the whole point of them is that they're self-revolving, and as they get paid back, you can loan out more. So they end up helping, I guess, increase the fundability of projects with the $2 billion. So the $2 billion, along with the Water Development Board's current $6 billion in bonding capacity, ends up going a lot farther. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. You can double the back.
And one of the things that I see is that we've been working on the state water plan for all these years, and we've come up with all these projections to make sure that we have water for the future, and we had no money for it. This will be a start with getting the money out to start some of these projects, and that would be a real good thing for the state. Now, I know people will say it's going to enrich the engineering firms. Yeah, engineering firms will get some money because they're the people that are going to know how to put in the projects. Really, if you hear somebody talking about it, in my opinion, I'd tell them to vote for it because we really need to get started on some of these projects. If it will quit raining, it will be more urgent again. It's been raining a little bit, so people are backing off, but we really, really need it. And from what I hear from the people that forecast the drought, is that the drought is going to continue.
That's correct.
Long into the future. So this water is going to become more and more precious to us, and we need to have these projects. Well, just my opinion.
Yes, sir.
Matt, I would echo some of Carolyn's comments, but I want to go back or switch back to what one of the directors said about the activity in Burleson County, but that's happening all over the state.
Right.
We're taking this water in oil and gas exploration, and I like oil and gas exploration. I think it's good for the state, clearly, and the nation. But I think we're using up a lot of resource with these slick water fracs they're using millions of gallons of water per well. And there's just a ton of activity in the Permian Basin. And the interesting thing about that, until the next billionaire figures out how to clean high volumes of pretty dirty water, they're going to take that water and they're going to take it out of the system, out of our ecosystem. And I think those oil and gas companies ought to pay a revenue tax or a resource tax on it. Have you heard anything like that in the state about this water fracking resource issue?
There's been a lot of discussion on how the fracking companies should be involved in water development. One of the important things to remember is what makes up the rainy day fund, and that's oil and gas severance tax.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the arguments that they make back is we are funding it.
We are. Yeah, we've done it. Yeah.
We're doing it now. So, you know, I do think that the legislature will continue to look at the energy-water nexus. Mm-hmm. It's something that they study usually every interim, and I think that, you know, over time, obviously, technology will get better, and they'll be able to reuse fracking water more. I know that there are some companies that are working on it. Devon,
the volumes are what's challenging.
It's smaller volumes. You know, for us, it's I guess for the BRA specifically, it's less of an issue because of the small amount of water that we actually sell for that particular purpose. It's less than 1%. I mean, 1% of our water goes toward mining, which, you know, a subset of that is oil and gas development of fracking. So, but it is a bigger issue statewide.
And this decision could have been made during the legislature, but it was passed on to the people. That would be, it's in it, the people's fault if it goes one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
There was an issue in the Temple Telegram this morning on the Prop 6. In general, the newspaper was promoting a positive position, but they were characterizing the opposition, at least the ones that they were highlighting, not being necessarily focused on water issues at all, but were focused on the issue that this money would be used to leverage more debt at the county level, and that's what they were against.
It's an argument. It is an argument that they're making.
It's possible.
I think that's all the slides I have. Go to the next one. The only other thing I'd add from a policy perspective coming out of session, the divestiture stuff, just kind of give you an update on where we are, the Senate Bill 918 stuff. With regard to the remaining leased and remaining leased residential and commercial property, obviously at the last board meeting, you all gave us the ability to go out and get a surveyor. We're working on that. That's all, you know, none of that can really start till we're fully decommissioned anyways. But we're going to go ahead and try to get the survey work started as soon as we can, because I'm going to have to survey the property to sell it. On the Set Ranch property, we have received and accepted the survey for the initial property that was passed two sessions ago. So that survey is good. We are dealing with some disagreements over the second survey for the new property that was passed into law this last session, which is that remaining that FERC property. They've given us a survey. We've rejected it. We're asking them to go back and redo it. Can't tell you how that's going to go. Obviously, you all know the history with the Set Ranch folks. We go back and forth a little bit. So we'll see if we're able to resolve those survey issues. Obviously, we can't conclude that sale until we get a survey. We can't even begin the appraisal process until we get a survey. So
yes, what were the bases of rejecting it?
They would like to do I guess what I would characterize as a desktop type survey, not an on the ground survey. So they essentially want to give us some sort of computer generated survey. Our position on that is it's not accurate. It doesn't accurately depict the 1,000-foot contour line, so it doesn't tell us exactly what we're selling you versus what you're buying. It's just not an accurate property description. So it's kind of that basic.
So because it impacts the clarity of the legal description
Correct.
Of the property.
Correct.
Okay. That's all
correct. Right. And that was an issue we fought about during session, and we stood very firm that we will not accept, you know, essentially what I term a Google map drawing of a survey. You know, you need to give us an actual survey, and we'll proceed toward appraisal. And then that last piece of property that was in that bill, which is Costello Island, that can't really start until we decommission. However, it's my understanding they may be starting to do some survey work, which is good. I mean, they're going to have to do it anyways, so they're going to have to go ahead and get a survey. I hope we don't have some of the same issues survey-wise with them as we have with Set. So.
Matt?
Yes,
sir. What came out of the legislature then is the auditing of the BRA books?
The legislature passed House Bill 2452, I'm sorry, that allows for the Legislative Budget Board to do an efficiency and effectiveness review of all river authorities. It indicates in there that when they do decide to do that, the LCRA and the BRA will go first.
Yeah. And we pay for it?
No.
Okay.
No, sir. Okay. No, that is paid for by them. They'll have to budget for it and do it themselves.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.